Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service this morning. A very warm welcome to any visitors who are worshipping with us today, especially if this is your first time at Emmanuel. Welcome to anyone listening to this service later in the week through our recorded ministry. We hope it helps you feel part of our fellowship here. Our service today will be led by our minister, Robert. Our Bible reading this morning will be me, Eddie Thomas. The prayer of intercession this morning will be led by Wally Knight. And notices are in the weekly news, but I would emphasize that Christian Aid Week starts today and runs until the 21st of May. So that's probably, so look at the envelopes in your pew. And the reading this morning is going to be from Revelations. You'll find it, it's Revelations 22, verses 1 to 5, and you'll find that at the very end of the New Testament section of the Bible. I'll now light the candle representing Jesus, the light of the world, after which we will have a few moments of quiet. And we, as we prepare for worship.
Good morning and welcome to our worship service today. It's good to see you, considering that some of our congregation are already sitting in the county grounds, and some of them will be heading there immediately before the service ends, probably. So if in mass people get up and go, don't ask. They're only just going down the square, down the block here, meeting with others. I don't know. I feel like Simon Stevenette now commenting the football match. It hasn't taken place yet, but there we are. Welcome to our service today. The stole I have today has a mission behind it. Each time I use it, I've got to tell people where it comes from, because that's why it was given to me. I preached once in Tondano, which is North Sulawesi, the island of Sulawesi in Indonesia. And when just as we were going in to the church, the chaplain of the day gave me the stole, which they give to all visiting preachers. And then at the end of the service said, please keep it. But whenever you use it, tell people where it comes from. So now you know. And the church was called Emmanuel. Little did I know that about 30 years later, I would be minister of Emmanuel. So there we are. It's not the only Emmanuel. We have an Emmanuel, but we won't talk about that. Not far from here. But I just wanted to share. It is a sort of connection within the church family. Our service today is based on the recommendations of Christian Aid, stories from Christian Aid, and prayers inspired by Christian Aid. Psalm number 1, the introduction, the guidance for the rest of the Psalms. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sin in the seat of scoffers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all they do, they prosper. Clear words in itself for teaching for these times. And in this spirit, we come together, and our first hymn this morning, all our hymns from Rejoice and Sing, is hymn 74, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation. Wasn't it, the organ? We will turn to God with our prayer of confession, and we will end with the words of the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. As we come, as we gather, we recognize that we come with our hopes and our frustrations, our joys, our sadness, with the best of us. But we also carry with us that which we don't want to carry. That which reminds us of how we have failed, of what we have not done, what we have done that was wrong. But we come to you, and we come to this, the house where we meet, as your children, because you have taught us that this is a place where we can come. Not because we are perfect, we wouldn't need it, but because we have failed and need you. So we thank you for your immeasurable grace that calls us by name and says you are welcome. Thank you that you have not turned your back on us in spite of what we have done. And so we can pluck up the courage, dear God, and present to you our confession. God of creation, we have sung praises to you. But even as the organ raised its sounds for us to raise our voices, we know that we have faltered and failed. Walking on paths that have turned our hearts inward, sitting with those who have scoffed at the cries of the poor, mocking those on the margins, denying the earth in her distress, forgetting our responsibilities. Too often our leaves have withered and our branches are barren. We have not let ourselves be pruned. And what lies ahead could be dangerous. We could be cut down. The excesses that crucify all creation, the systems that impoverish all people, the privilege that diminish our faith. But it's never too late to come to you. Because you love us. You want to see us do better. You offer us your grace. You remind us that even dead wood can spring to life. Where we have failed to bear good fruit and share your abundance of the earth, God have mercy. When our actions and intentions have been chaff for the winds of heaven, God have mercy. Forgive us, restore us, inspire us, that we may delight in your purposes and truly grow by the streams of water of life. May we embrace and inhabit the promises that you have made to all creation. May we flourish for the world, so the world may see in each of us your love. May we bring healing to the nations. God have mercy, lead us, forgive us, and restore us. And as the children of God, we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us now light the peace candle that today sits on the table prepared for communion. And we are reminded of our call to be agents of peace. For Ukraine, for Russia, for all those parts of the world where there is distress and hatred and violence and destruction. For Afghanistan, for Syria, for Yemen, for Somalia, for Ethiopia, for Zimbabwe. Lord, may the light of the candle of peace shine. Spread the light and transform that which is against your will. Amen. We now share what we have been able to set apart for the time of the offering. Loving God, what is in the plate, what we can give in different ways, we put into your hands. Who we are, what we have, what we can do, and how this can shine your light in the world, that your ways are the ways of life. May our offering be part of that, we pray, O Lord. Amen. And we share the words of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you very much. Before the Bible reading for this morning, our next hymn 654, we turn to you, O God of every nation, omitting verses 3 and 4. Omitting verses 3 and 4. Lead us in the reading.
This morning's reading is from Revelations 22, verses 1 to 5. You'll find it on page 258 of the New Testament section of the Bible. John's Revelation. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore. But the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign for ever and ever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Eddie. And the choir will now lead us in the anthem, Holy, 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 God of Power and Might. Music by Franz Schubert. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Most of you have this little booklet, Christian Aid booklet, on the pew. And it has various things to it. Guidance for the next 7 days for you to reflect, even the possibility of writing to the Prime Minister, if you would like to. And the story today with which I begin, you will find on day 7. It is the story of Janet. And there she is in the photograph on page 7, hugging her great-grandchildren. And in the website of Christian Aid, there is her story. And I want to tell you her story before we go into the reading. In her village in Zimbabwe, big-hearted Janet Sirugo, 70, has seen firsthand the desperate, hungry hunger drought causes. And she reflects on it in this painful time. One year, there was so little food. Rains had not fallen. We ate things we wouldn't eat in normal times. I made porridge and gave it to the children, then removed a portion and put it down for the dogs. The children picked up the dog's share because they weren't full enough. When I saw this, I knew the situation had become unbearable. My heart was so painful, thinking that my family would die. But God's grace was with us. We soldiered on. Janet is the sole provider for her children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren in her family, many of them orphans. Love is Janet's superpower. It gives her the strength and the courage to keep going, even in the hardest times. God gives me the power to plow my field and to help my family, she says. With faith, hope, and love, Janet brought her family through this time. With all her strength and with her husband John at her side, she works on the farm so her family and her neighbors never go hungry again. Her drought-resistant seeds are now blooming into a garden of plenty, bowls full of groundnuts, wild fruit, golden corn, and rainbow of color. The new storeroom she built keeps her harvest safe and secure, which helps her bounce back in future droughts. Her prayer, God be with me and my family. Please look after them, Lord. Look after my livestock, my husband, and me too. Give me the strength to fend for my family. Amen. Her seeds were bought through Christian Aid, the drought-resisting seeds. This is one of the stories of Christian Aid asked us to reflect on for this week. And now, how do we connect Janet's story to the vision of John in Revelation that you've just heard? I love watching the face of people when I say that the reading is coming from the book of Revelation. It's either dread or fear, or dread and fear, and possibly the words, I've never understood it. It's a book full of visions. It's a book with enigmas. It puts people off. Is that probably why I really do like it? I do enjoy it. There is a reason for the enigmas. If you lived under persecution, you wouldn't like your letters to be found where you wrote to Dear Jeff in Blunsdon, because they would arrest both Jeff and Liz and myself, or Dear whoever, wherever you lived. So you had to get those letters to them without putting their lives at risk or your lives at risk. And that's why there are a few names, and the names that do appear are names lost in past, not a danger, apparently. There is a reason for the enigmas. The church was being persecuted, and the Roman emperor was against the emergence of Christianity. Only the emperor could be called Lord, and yet the book of Revelation, you will lose count of the times that the word Lord is used, never for the emperor, always to God. That enough was reason for being put to death. It was considered subversive by the emperor. People died because of this book. The codes were there so the followers of Christ would not be discovered, but the followers of Christ knew the codes. Do you see? It's like the Enigma Code. Remember the story of the Enigma Code? It changed every so often so it wouldn't be found out. But with the right machine, those who received the message could interpret the message, but those who didn't have the machine didn't know what was happening. It had to be deciphered by those who read it, but not by the enemy. The book of Revelation is the Enigma Code of the Bible. That's the easiest I can say about it. They talked of things long past. They never talked of Rome. You don't criticize the Emperor of Rome. They talked of Babylon. Disappeared ages ago. It was the enemy of the prophets of the Old Testament. You remember? But talk about Babylon. They talked about the monster with the seven heads. But the readers knew that the seven heads were the seven hills of Rome. So each time you see the seven heads, that's the way he's talking about the emperor, not about the seven hills. And it goes on like that. Talks of the emperor as the beast, as the Antichrist. And it's a wonderful book connected to Genesis. So much of Revelation is connected to Genesis. And today we heard at least two, if not three, references that only become clear if we remember what it says in Genesis. Compare the river of the water of life that you've just heard when Eddie read the text. The tree that bears fruit and the leaves that are there for the healing of the nations. Inspired on the Garden of Eden. To remember the tree in the middle of the garden with fruit. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And compare that fruit to the fruit of Eden and the fruit of Revelation. To remember the curse in Genesis. They were cursed. You will till the land with the sweat of your brow. Childbirth will be painful, etc. You heard just now, and there will be curse no longer. And God will reign forever and ever. That's not something the emperor wants to hear. That's not something that any of the dictators of the world want to hear. They have always believed their empire will be eternal. But it won't. The vision of the life in fullness that appears in the book of Revelation at the end of it is a result of conflict and tension. And if you've been reading fresh from the Word last week and this week, you've had a good introduction to it because the readings have been on the book of Revelation. And as a matter of fact, the reading for this morning is that famous chapter 13, the unlucky number of the beast that tries to take over. It has the 666, which broke people's head for years and years and years. And this reading that Eddie read for us now, there will be no mark on the forehead any longer. The mark of the beast. The vision of life in fullness, which we repeat and have just repeated, if you paid attention, and that you probably say out loud or in your heart, 1, 2, 10 times a week, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the story of Revelation. It is beginning to happen on earth. And now, go back to Janet's story, to the reading today. Is anything that Janet has said her fault? That the land is barren, that it rains no more, that the seeds she used to have are useless, that the life of her kids and her grandchildren are in danger. And that's not the story of Zimbabwe, it's the story of most of the world. I'm sorry, I wasn't going to say this, but I was sickened this week when I read a member of parliament saying that you could cook a nutritious meal with 30p. That's mocking people. When you say they don't know how to cook, they haven't learned how to cook. So if they learned how to cook, they could cook proper good meals on 30p when we pay what they eat in Parliament, because it is cheaper. That I find offensive. That I find against the vision of life in fullness. That is the story that we are facing. I just don't understand how you can get away with a thing like that. Because even with the prices, you've all probably heard how much your gas bill is going to be and how much it's gone up. 30p to cook a meal. You can't cook a meal. You can buy a potato, you can buy a carrot, and you can buy a leek. One, split it up, dry, raw, and put it in front of the Janets of the story. Is that God's will? Because that is the question of the book of Revelation. And this is what Christian Aid is asking us about. Here we are, just at the beginning of Christian Aid Week. We've been invited to be part of the changing reality. The little we can do, the little we can put into the famous red envelope makes a difference, as Janet got her seeds. And every year since I've been here, I've stood up and said to you, having come from Latin America, I can see the stories that happened in many parts of Latin America where they were the recipients of what you put in the envelopes, of how that does change lives, of the difference it makes. We said at the church meeting the other day, and you've got it in the weekly news, the little we did as churches for the Desai School. All churches together of the partnership came together. We did about £8,000. Together with other organizations, locally, nationally, and internationally, that reached £39,000 for the school in Desai. Nobody thought, when they put whatever they put into those envelopes and gave it, that it would become £39,000. This is what God is telling us about the vision of life in fullness. All the projects by which people will eat, will have health, will receive their daily food, all that we want to happen in heaven is not good enough if it doesn't start happening on earth. It's not good. God will make clear, as he did in Genesis, by which he was pleased with what he saw. But that was disrupted by human vanity and pride and selfishness and ambition. That is the curse of Genesis. And what we've just heard says there will be no curse any longer. It is our task not only to pray for that, but to be part in an active way of the transformation. This is what our faith is about. Yes, we pray. Yes, we come together. Yes, we get involved. But can we only pray and not point out that which is abruptly against God's will in this day and age? Why does the earth run dry and there are no more rains? Why are there fires and destruction? Why are there floods? The environmental issue is very much our issue. And the partnership is involved up to its neck with that. We're trying to do something different. Because none of this is Janet's fault. And here in Revelation, we hear that there is no curse any longer. We hear that the promise of water of life for healing of the nations, the leaves will be rich in fruit, and the throne of God and the Lamb will be present. Today we affirm that when we break the bread and drink from the cup. We know that will happen in the kingdom. Yes. But we are living today. And the Janets of the world are dying today. They need urgently for the promise of life in fullness to be part of our reality. May your will be done. Only in heaven? May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask God to change things. And you've probably heard God more than one time say, okay, but we have to work together on this. I called you from the very beginning of Genesis, let's be co-workers. So what are you doing? This is the challenge that Christian Aid puts before us. And we know this. We talk about it every May. It's made clear in the Bible. I have come so that all may have life in fullness, says Jesus. So yes, this is our chance to be part of God's will. In response to our prayer said so often. And do you remember what the motto of Christian Aid is? Come on, somebody must remember it. We believe in life before death. And that is the challenge. Because so many people say, oh, I believe in life after death. Great. And I'm not disputing it. The hard stuff is believing in life before death. And you know what? So does God. That was his plan. Life before death. The life of the world. Then, here we have put before God our hope in times of crisis. And all the people of God can do is respond, so be it. Your will be done. Amen, dear God. Amen. Our next hymn. Is hymn 631. O Lord, our God, arise, the cause of truth maintain, and over all the peopled world extend your blessed reign. It's an old hymn. It's not a modern one. Look at the year, 1799. People were thinking of that long ago. Wally will now lead us in the prayers of intercession that were prepared this week by Roy Lowe's.
Yes, many thanks to Roy for these. Let us pray. It seems that the challenges before our communities are ever on the rise. And national politics and international events might leave us feeling dispirited and powerless. Yet there is hope to be found in starting where we are, in unearthing how the Spirit is at work in our lives and neighbourhoods, even in our anger and dismay, that in so many places we have come to this. So, using these reactions of ours as a renewed springboard for our concern for justice and peace, we pray for Christian Aid, who act as an agent for our dismay, anger, and love. Christian Aid remind us that for the first time in a generation, global poverty is rising. This is caused by the combined effects of the COVID-19 pandemic, conflict, and drought, which have robbed communities of the power to provide for their children. It is unjust. And whilst we might feel somewhat powerless, we note that on our behalf, Christian Aid stands and works, for example, with the resilient women in Zimbabwe, like Jessica, who, when food is scarce, can only give her children one bowl of porridge a day. She toils on her farm, but no food can grow on her ashen dry land. But she's determined to lift her family out of hunger. Or Janet in Zimbabwe too, who has seen how drought pushes her family into desperate hunger in her village. But, thanks to Christian Aid acting on our behalf, Janet has survived. She has turned the drought-resistant seed she was given into a garden of plenty. Or also in Zimbabwe, Jirina, who says she struggled to earn money in the drought, every day was a battle for survival. Thanks to Christian Aid, Jirina had the chance to train as a welder. Now she has the dignity of doing a job she loves and can provide for her children. We pray for Jessica, Janet, and Jirina, and all such people for whom Christian Aid is an answer to prayer. We give thanks that Christian Aid can turn the words of our prayers into action, and that they will continue to raise our voices to call for climate justice, work to restore justice to our world, and protect the future for our children and grandchildren. And Christian Aid is heavily involved in Ukraine too, of course. Since the Russian Federation launched its attack on Ukraine on the 24th of February, over 5.2 million people have fled their homes to escape conflict. At least 2,435 civilians have been killed and 2,946 injured. This is the fastest growing refugee crisis since World War II. An additional 7.7 million people have been displaced internally within Ukraine, and over 12 million more have been affected in the areas hardest hit by the war. Humanitarian needs are increasing exponentially. We pray for Christian Aid as it works with three partner organisations: the Hungarian Interchurch Aid in Ukraine and Hungary, the Lutheran World Federation in Poland, and the Swiss Church Aid in Ukraine, Hungary, and Romania. Together, they help internally displaced people and refugees. Through the Disasters Emergency Appeal, Christian Aid has also donated £1 million for trauma first aid kits and £1 million for urgently needed medical and pharmaceutical equipment, items and supplies. So, Creator God, cultivator of our faith, we thank you for the privilege of living in this world, this global garden planted to bear your fruit, to delight our tongues, to fill our bellies, to energize our bodies. You have given us life in all its fullness. You have given us life, yet millions still hunger. So, we ask that you take our gifts of money and the actions of our lives and use them to help Christian Aid continue to support communities throughout the world. In our hunger for peace, We pray for the desperate, damaged and destroyed people of Ukraine, those starving in Zimbabwe and in many other places, including those in food poverty in this country, where we pray for the work of food banks, Citizens Advice and other support agencies. And may our concern for them not stifle our concern for Afghanistan, Syria and all those other places to whom our hearts have become hardened through our over-familiarity or because they have slipped from the headlines. In our hunger for justice, we pray for the government, both national and local, and might they and we also be concerned not for popularity, profit or our pleasure, but for the children in many countries and now this country who shamefully go to bed hungry, whose parents struggle to provide for them. And in our hunger for justice, we pray that you will fill us with your hope, your passion and your life, that we may go out from this place to give, act and pray. So all who hunger to provide may be filled to overflowing. In the name of Christ, farmer, gardener and cultivator and fierce critic of injustice. Amen.
Thank you, Wally, for leading us in the prayers. We will celebrate communion if the elders who will be distributing communion would like to come forward. Standing here, it is the image of the abundance that we have just heard of in the book of Revelation. The bread, the cup, the candle, and the perfume of the flowers that stand or sit in front of me. It's that sense of a garden in all its splendor. This is the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. All of you are welcome to take from the bread and the cup if you feel that you need to be nurtured. Be reminded that it is God who invites and that this table belongs not to any church in particular, to no person in particular. It is the table through Jesus Christ that we are here today. And Paul, when he was writing to Corinth, the first written narrative we have of communion. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. We thank you, dear God, for the bread that is on the table, the seed that was planted, the rains that nurtured the land, the transformation of the seed into flour and through human labor. The bread that is now on the table. We give you thanks, O Lord, and we break in your name. And then after breaking it, he said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took also the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And as the vine grew, was tended, gave its fruit, and the juice of the grapes were transformed and have reached this table, together with the bread and the wine, we remember. And as we remember, when we eat and drink, we proclaim God's love, not for some, but for all. So we do as Jesus did with the disciples. The bread is gluten-free, and please hold the bread until we have all received so that we can all eat together. The bread that was broken for us to find wholeness, we eat in remembrance of him. And after they had eaten, they distributed the cup of the new covenant, shed for many, the forgiveness of sins. the cup of the new covenant, we drink in thanksgiving and in memory of him. We come to you imperfect as we are to be healed, to be nurtured, to be made whole. We come to you as part of your creation, with the Janets of the world, with all those working for peace and healing and understanding. We know it is your will. Grant us, as we have been nurtured for life, to live life and share life, that it may be in fullness for all. To you be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn, hymn 586, All My Hope on God Is Founded, we'll sing verses 1, 3, and 5, verses 1, 3, and 5 of hymn 586. In the name of God who plants the seed of justice, be hungry. In the name of Christ who hangs on the tree of love, be fruitful. In the name of the Spirit who inspires God's will in our hearts and lives, be celebrated. We are Christ's people, here and throughout the world, now and forever. So go in peace. God will walk with us, as promised, until the end of times. Amen.